Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, this Festival of the Holy Trinity, and also our Confirmation Sunday, is written in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, beginning at verse 43. We come in here with the closing words of a great song, a great choral poetic oration that Moses delivered to the people. He concludes, "Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and people." Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." So far the words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, and especially dear Samantha, on this your confirmation day, a couple of weeks ago I paraphrased something that C.S. Lewis said, in which he commented that Christianity, if not true, was of no importance at all. But if true, is of absolute and supreme importance. One thing it cannot be is of moderate importance. It can't just be ho-hum. We surely see where Moses stands on that question here, don't we? Moses highlights the importance of our faith in our text. After relating the sinfulness of mankind, and even the sinfulness of the children of Israel, and the condemnation that comes upon the world because of sin, he talks also about how God himself will intervene and will atone for the sins of mankind. And then he says of all of this message, this declaration, these words, "Samantha, and for all of you, they are not just idle words for you. They are your life." It's difficult to convey how important the words of God are for you. Just as you depend upon air to live, just as you depend upon the beating of your heart, you need these words of God if you are to live, especially if you are to live even in the face of death itself. Information is something that can make the difference between life and death. Ever been in an airliner? Ever been coming in for a landing? I don't know whether I should tell you this. But you know what the pilot's doing? He's looking at this little dial. And if he lines the dial up with the notch, things are good. If he doesn't line up the dial with the notch, things are bad. Your life depends upon that bit of information of whether you're above or below the glide slope, or to the right or to the left. Especially when you can't see out the windows. Now, if we need the direction of information to survive in something as common and everyday, really, as flying in an airplane, how much more do we need the true knowledge that governs our souls and the fate of our souls after we take our last breath? God's words are our life. So what words are we talking about when we say God's words? Moses had just delivered a formal speech in the form of poetry to the children of Israel. I mean, this is formal. We're talking about a major event here. It's on the verge of the end of their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It's Moses' retirement oration as he was turning his duties over to Joshua. It was his final speech as he was about to die. It was his farewell speech as he was to leave the children of Israel to be gathered to his fathers. So, yeah, we're talking about the ultimate event, everybody listen to what I have to say kind of speech. But what made these words of life to the people and to us was not that it was a really important event, but it was their content. All of these words that I've solemnly declared to you this day, Moses was talking about. And these included words that the other night Samantha identified as law and gospel, the two main teachings of the Bible. Words that identified the sins and disobedience of the people that deserved God's judgment. But also words that related God's promises, that revealed him as faithful and gracious, and that praised him for his forgiveness and salvation, making atonement, himself paying the price for the sins of all the people. So Moses delivered a law and gospel sermon. And they also, these words, are within the whole context of the Torah, those first five books, we sometimes call them the Pentateuch, in which is found the entire account of man's creation and fall and the promise of the Savior, and how God set out to manifest his grace to the world in the laws of worship and the ceremonies, which we find out all pointed to none other than Christ, the true Jesus, the true Yeshua, the true Savior of the world. These words are your life, Samantha, because without them, you wouldn't know what the problem is with this world, why it is that we live, and after a while, we die. Why there's conflict in the human race. Why there's sorrow and why there's grief. What's more, without these words, you wouldn't know who is the true and living God. Another question that Samantha answered Thursday was, first of all, to identify what we mean by the word Trinity or triune. And then I asked you the question, yeah, so why is this important? Why did we recite the Athanasian Creed today? We do it once a year on Trinity, but why is it that the other creeds also reflect the doctrine of the Holy Trinity? And she says, because that's the God who is there. Do we put our trust in him? Or as with all the false religions of the world and a figment of somebody's imagination? It does make all the difference after all. These words of Moses also reflect who is the true God. Remember our Old Testament lesson? You hear the benediction most Sundays, the Lord bless you and keep you and so forth. And did you know that this is the blessing that God himself said is to be spoken over his people to bless them? And notice the Trinitarian character of it. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And when Moses was hidden, so that God himself would reveal himself to Moses and tell Moses his name, that is, reveal who he is to Moses. What did Moses tell us he heard? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. And I think you know how it is that God could forgive us and still be just and still not let the guilty get away with it? Because he counted Christ as guilty in our place and carried out his punishment upon him. These words are your life. But these aren't the only words that are your life. These words that Moses wrote in his speech, that he wrote in those five books. Moses was going the way of all people. He was to be dead and buried. But God would continue to reveal himself to the world through this word. And this word, we're told, it's all of it important. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And you know what? None of us knows this word as well as it deserves. Do we? So this word needs to be, if it is our life, it needs to be a significant part of our lives. Confirmation, Samantha, isn't graduation. It's a beginning, or a waypoint, you might say, in your life. What you've learned isn't just information that you gather and memorize like so much trivia. And we emphasize that. I don't want to hear what you remember, Samantha. I want to hear what you believe. Remember that? That's the way it is. As Moses says, it is your life. As Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. This word isn't just information, but a living power to change you and to increase our faith. And think how God brought this world into being, after all. He said, let there be, and there was. That's the power that is in God's word. And so it is that by his word, he creates faith in the human heart. Faith comes from hearing the message, Romans 10 says. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so we need to make sure this word is part of our very lives. It happens first as we pay attention to that third commandment and we make sure that we come here each week. As those in the desert seek out an oasis to refresh themselves and to gain strength. We call it the divine service. Why? Because God himself serves us here through the means of grace, through his word, and through his sacraments. He announces and gives to you the words of forgiveness. He washes away your sins through holy baptism. He gives you his body and blood together with the bread and wine for the forgiveness of all of your sins. God is active here. Here he strengthens your faith in him. He warns you of the errors in this world that undermine our faith and lead away from God. He warns of the dangers of impenitence and unbelief. He makes sense of this broken world. And he brings us the promises of life and reveals just a little bit of heaven. And to the services of God's house here, add some devotional reading, Sunday school, Bible class. always encourage people, take at least one series of Bible classes during the year, that you may hear those words of God. And these are words, remember, if these words are your life, they are words that overcome death. As Jesus told Martha, remember her brother Lazarus had died? And Jesus declared to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked Martha. And she confessed that she did. And that word of promise is spiritual and everlasting life. When Moses says these words of the gospel are your life, then he isn't exaggerating. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples if they'd got sick and tired of him and were going to leave like everybody else? And what did Peter say? He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And when the angel freed the disciples from prison there in Jerusalem in Acts 5, what did he tell them to do? He said, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message, the words of this new life." Paul described the Philippians as living in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out what? The words of life. The object, the fulfillment, the essence of this word is Christ himself. As John says, as he introduces his first letter, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Samantha, last Thursday, does it seem like a long time ago? we had a little crowd here, and you were examined before the elders and the members of the congregation, and we kept one question for last. And those who've been to my confirmation classes know, and those who've been to these examinations know what it is. And it's a question to which I hope all of us know and can give the answer. And that is, what is your hope, even in the face of death itself? What is your hope, even as you die? Even as someone you love dies? We're all going to face it. Every last one. I can remember sitting and talking with my father as he was dying. And he confessed the hope that he had. We have our own way of saying it, each one of us, I'm sure, that our hope is in Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. Everything he should have done, he did. Nothing he shouldn't have done, did he do? He was holy and righteous. And he tells us that that righteousness is yours. It's yours because he was living as though he were you in your place. He was truly born of a woman so that he would be truly human, as we confessed in that Athanasian Creed a few minutes ago, so that he might have a righteousness to give truly human people. But what's more, he took our sins and our guilt upon himself, and he took all of them to the cross. And he bore those sins to the grave. And to know that his payment for our sins was counted as sufficient, he was raised again from the dead. That's one way to say it. Jesus gave us another way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are just words of summary, telling what God has done, what he's done to save you. Learn those words. Teach them to your kids when you have them, Sam. Hear them and receive them in the divine service Sunday after Sunday. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.